Grace and shalom unto you from God our Father, and blessings from our Lord Jesus Christ at this second Advent service. Well, let's start tonight with some fun Christmas questions. Let's see if you can answer them. My first question is, who wrote the Christian hymn, We Three Kings? Does anyone know? It was written by a man by the name of John Hopkins. When he was a seminary student, his fellow students asked him to write this Christmas carol. Of course, you recognize who John Hopkins was. He was a conservative theologian who started a Christian college called John Hopkins, which you hear about today. Question number two, what Christmas carol was the very first ever to be played on radio? Do you know? It was O Holy Night. Wow, some interesting stuff. And now on to Mendelssohn's Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and namely its history as it relates to tonight's sermon. You will not know this, I'm sure, but when Mendelssohn put words to his music, they had nothing to do with Christianity. They were totally secular words, and they were words that were used at the dedication of a statue. But it had great upbeat music, and so Mendelssohn was asked to put Christian words to it. He said impossible, but he was later proved wrong by a young seminary student who wrote the Christian words, Hark, the Herald Angels Sing. Well, let's go to our text tonight, which are the four verses of Hark, the Herald Angels Sing. Now, why is this my favorite Christmas hymn? I do not know another hymn or carol in Advent, Christmas, Easter, or anywhere that contains more nouns, proper names for our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we usually have a first name, last name, middle name. Some people have two or three middle names. But you know, our Lord Jesus in the Bible has over 100 names. If you've ever been down to our Bible study room, there's a big chart up in front that has a whole bunch of those proper names that we talk about to honor our Savior. And you're going to get to do a little test right now. I'm not going to ask you to speak out loud your results, but you're going to take, if you want, wish to, you're going to take your bulletin, first of all, and look at those two verses of Hark that we just sang, and the two verses that we're going to sing after the sermon. And so you can take out a pencil, pen, whatever, out of the pew, out of your pocket, or out of the purse, or whatever, and we're going to circle all the titles of Jesus. That is, you are going to. I'm not going to tell you what they are, except in the first verse. I'll help you out in the first verse. And in that verse, in the second line, you're going to circle the word king. Now, the reason I want to tell you this first is king will come up several times in the hymn. You cannot circle it more than once. That will just count as one time, okay? And in that verse, third from the bottom line, you see the word Christ, okay? That gets circled. That'll get you started. So when we're all done circling, and I have read this to you, we'll ask you how many times Jesus' proper name was used as a noun, okay? So let's start with the second verse. I just read, you circle. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Third verse, hail the heavenly prince of peace, hail the son of righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he leaves his throne on high, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Come, desire of nations, come. Fix in us thy humble home. O, to all thyself impart, formed in each believing heart. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Count up how many circles. You will be surprised to find out that there are 15 titles for Jesus here. And I'm sure you circled one that should not be circled. Desire of nations. That's the old King James way of translating, which is wrong. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But let's go back and start with the hymn, Hark. That means to listen. Listen carefully, because the herald or the messenger angels have something to say. And they say, glory to the newborn king, he who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It goes on to say, God and sinners reconciled. That God should not be circled. That's a reference to God the Father. We are reconciled by the work of Jesus, his death, his washing away of our sins. We are reconciled by that to God the Father. Joyful all ye nations, rise. Join the triumph of the skies. The angels sang to the shepherds that first Christmas day when Jesus was born. And it was a joyful time to be there and to join together in triumph, because Jesus would triumph over death, sin, and the devil. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Now, we should talk about the word Christ here a little bit. And you see I have it connected down there in your, well, I guess you don't have it connected, but in the second verse, third last line, we have Jesus, okay? And he's our Emmanuel. Well, what do I want to do with connections? Well, Christ is the English way of saying the Greek Christos. Now, how do you say Christos in Hebrew? It's Mashiach. It's Messiah. So what we have here is Christ is our Messiah. So the minute you sing Christ by highest heaven adored, you're singing Messiah by heaven adored. And we hold to the fact that our Messiah has come. Where the Jews are still looking for the Messiah, we know he has already come and he has done his work. Well, tying it in to the next verse, third last line, that we have the name Jesus. All right? Well, what do we do with that? That's English. If you want to say it in Greek, it's Jesus. And how do you say it in Hebrew? We have there Yeshua or Joshua. That's the way we say it. And then you connect it together, and I always like to say Christ Jesus. There's a reason for that. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the basic message of Christmas, of Easter, of the Ascension, of the last day when Christ will return. Let's go to the second verse. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Yes, he is Lord. We have that circled. He is not only King of Kings, he is Lord of Lords. We learn in Scripture. Well, late in time, behold him come. Oh, he's a him, not a her. All right? That's important in this day and age when people can't tell any difference between males and females. It's here used as a noun if you look carefully at it. Oh, he is offspring of a virgin's womb. He's a child. That gets circled. He's a child or an offspring that came from the Virgin Mary, planted in her by the Holy Spirit. Oh, it goes on to say, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. That should be circled. You might think, oh, that's a reference to the whole Trinity. Not so. How are you going to have him veiled in flesh? He had a human body. The Father never got a body. The Holy Spirit never got a body. And Jesus said, he who has seen me has seen the Father, which also means he who has seen Jesus has also seen the Holy Spirit. So when we see Jesus, he is the Godhead who is seen by us. Hail the incarnate deity. Oh, he is God. Deity is your word for God. And the next line says, pleased as man with man to dwell. Two lines parallel, God and man. And it's not like when Jesus walked around on this earth that sometimes when he was walking on water, he was God. And when he was sleeping in a boat, he was man. No, you cannot separate the two parts of Jesus. He is always the God-man who is among us. And then Jesus is our Emmanuel. Now it may seem strange, but back in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says, behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son. Wow, how'd they know that way back there in those days? That was 700 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and they knew it was going to be a boy, not a girl. All right? So prophecy is God's domain. He knows how to predict things from the beginning to the end and everything in between, because he is God. And then what do we do with this thing? A virgin will conceive, and you shall call him Emmanuel. And yet, when the angel came to Joseph, he said to Joseph, you shall name him Jesus. And people say, oh, that can't be the same kid, because he's got the name Emmanuel in prophecy, and yet when he was born, they named him Jesus. They named him Jesus. But it's very easy to solve. All you have to do is go to the great Reformation psalm. The Lord of hosts is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, our helper. And most people do not realize, but the first meaning of Jesus is not Savior. It is helper. So the two tie together. Jesus is with us. Jesus is our helper. Ties together, the name fits. It sounds different in English, Emmanuel and helper, but they are exactly the same thing in total meaning. We go to the third verse. Everybody got this one. Hail the heavenly Prince of Peace. We had that read today, right? In Isaiah chapter 9, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now really, the way that reads in the Hebrew is, his name shall be called a wonder of a counselor. Whoa, that's strange. And if you put it together, that makes a five-step naming of Jesus. And wonder, remember it says in the Bible, Moses worked wonders in Egypt. That's your word for miracle. So Jesus is a wonder of a counselor. He's a counselor who doesn't just lay you on a bench and ask you questions. He can solve your problem, which he does, because he is the great comforter. People say, oh no, the Holy Spirit's the comforter. But what did Jesus say in John? He says, I send to you another comforter, which means he's number one comforter, and the Holy Spirit is the next comforter. Oh, there's a lot of theology wrapped up in everything. And watch the last hymn today. Wow, is that hymn packed with theology? You know, we say people should like read the Bible ahead of time, and then when it's explained, they read it again and think it over. Well, what you really need to do, if you have to choose one of the two, you take the second part, that after it's explained, you go home and think it through. And let me tell you, in that last hymn today, there is so much hidden theology and historical matter that you have to know from the Bible, you'll never appreciate it until you go home and learn your Bible a whole lot more, and then the verses will all fall together. Well, it says here also, hail the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness. That comes from Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, where Jesus is the Son because he shines through the darkness in order to bring light into our dark world of sin, in order that we might see and go to heaven. Well, then we have in the third line, life and light and life to all he, not she, brings. He's a he, not a she. And then you come on down, risen with healing in his wings. That's a phrase right from Malachi 4:2 also. Mild, he leaves his throne on high. He who is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, loved us enough to become us, without sin, of course. For he was tempted in all ways like you and me, says the writer of the book of Hebrews in chapter 2, and it says, but he had no sin. Why was he born? Born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth, conversion, born that they might become a new creature. As he said to Nicodemus, you have to be born again. You have to come to faith. You were born first of your mother, but now you need a spiritual birth also. The fourth verse, come desire of nations, come. Now, that's the way it was in the King James Version, but it's wrong. It's a plural. And we don't have desires of nations. The word that should be translated is treasures. And I want you to write that in there, because after the sermon, we're going to sing that fourth verse. And I want you to sing treasures of nations, because you see, the treasures of nations are you and me. God treasures us. His treasures are over the entire world. People who he loves, people who he wants to take to heaven. We are the treasures. So we sing treasures of the nations. We are part of those nations. We're part of those people. We're part of those treasures that God wants to take to heaven. So you will probably become the first congregation in history, and probably the last also, to sing treasures instead of desire of nations. It's a plural. Write treasures in and sing it, please. And then it goes on to say, fix in us thy humble home. And the thy is a reference to Jesus. We want him to fix in our hearts his humble home. And he became humble, and he wants us to be humble. Owe to all thyself impart. That's another reference to Jesus, thyself. We want him to be there and impart it into our heart. And then we go on down, and in the third last line, I have God there because we are reconciled to him, but that's not a name for Jesus. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds in faith unto life everlasting. Amen.